Managua. Took him 14 hours to drive there, he said. Let's see what else he said. I'm curious. Oh, that's all he said. He's not a very talkative guy. Doesn't talk a lot. I don't like that. Proverbs chapter 18. You've been sitting for a while. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. Have you had a good week so far? Because it's about to get worse. I'm just joking. How many love to take pop quizzes? Nobody. See? Unanimously. All you teachers, there's nobody. Not even the teachers said, yes, we do. I think last year, maybe the year before last, we took a pop quiz. This is not a pop quiz, all right? This is a midweek midterm. So this is a little deeper involved. So we're gonna look at this one verse. I'm going to explain it to the best of my ability, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, and we'll see how the Lord leads and see what takes place here tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, notice if you will in verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Can we read that verse out loud together? Ready? Begin. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh. Father, we love you and we thank you that we have the opportunity to look into the book of wisdom tonight. And Lord, as we do, I pray that you give us ears to hear exactly what the Holy Spirit of God has to say to us, so that when the last amen is said, Lord, we will leave here bettered. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, Lord, so that I may be filled with your Spirit. I ask that you just use me tonight as your mouthpiece and preach through me your message. Lord, I don't believe you want me to say a whole lot tonight, but I believe that you have a lot to say. And I pray as you say it that you would move our hearts. I pray that you'd set a watch at my lips then and prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit or an offense to these dear folks that are here tonight. Lord, rather help me to be obedient. Help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say for the glory and the honor the majesty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In the interest of being practical, Solomon is used by God to pen several verses like this one in the midst of other principles to cause a pause for spiritual assessment. Many times you can go through the book of Proverbs and you may get one or two or three that you could group together and you kind of feel like you're getting some traction, and then all of a sudden, whoop, one pops up there and you look at it and you go, wow, that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. Or I wonder why it's said just like that and it's so contrasting in any other direction. I think those are divinely inspired verses just like all the other verses are, and I think that God puts them in there to kind of wake us up a little bit, to kind of say, okay, I don't want you to drift into a scriptural lull here. You may have read this a few times, and I'd kind of like to speak to your heart because it is my word. And so he puts these verses in here for us to, I think, kind of take a pause. This verse is somewhat obvious to the open heart, yet many times it is the simplest verses that require the longest meditation. So if you were to go back and look at with me the verse 15 that we read, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. That's not necessarily too hard to understand, especially since we've studied what prudent is and knowledge is. And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So as we look to the verse for truth today, we notice words that we have studied before. For instance, we have studied at length what knowledge is, and that is divine knowledge. That is understanding, the ability to segregate that which is good from that which is bad to help us to navigate the life that God's called us to live. You notice, of course, that at the very beginning, the first five words, you notice the word prudent. We've understood that to be more cautious than just wisdom. It's the actual looking for to make sure that our testimony is right and that we're doing those things that are, of course, kept from trouble. So the words then that bring this verse into view for us and hopefully make it into the heart are the words, and I want you to underline them in your Bible. And this is a good exercise, by the way, for just about any verse, is to look for the verbs. So the words here are seeketh and getteth, because therein lies the emphasis of the passage. Now listen very carefully. It is because the individual in this passage, it's the prudent, okay? He's seeking knowledge. Because he's seeking for knowledge, the wise man gets it. Now, that's pretty simple. So, immediately, the preacher that I am, the question comes to my mind. Because the questions are what stirs the heart, okay? The question at the very beginning is, are you even seeking it? What are you seeking? Because whatever you're seeking, you're probably going to find. And the idea here is that the prudent is obviously seeking the wisdom, so he's get it. He gets it. Gaining the knowledge of God or the wisdom and understanding necessary for navigating this life is no haphazard accumulation of lore. In other words, it doesn't happen by accident, but rather it is the result of an earnest daily search for absolute truth revealed in the Word of God that needs to be assimilated and implemented in life. So the results of which will be observable science in the life of a decent, godly individual. If I'm going to, according to the verse, set my heart to look for and seek after godly wisdom and the knowledge of God, lo and behold, as long as I'm searching for it in the right place, I shall find it. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That makes sense. If I'm going to seek with for her, according to Proverbs 2, as for hidden treasure, then I'm going to gain the benefit. So the verse is just reiterating a prior principle that, listen, if you really want to know what God knows that he's revealed, you can have it. That's what he's saying. The Bible says in verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. All right? So then once again, we are reminded from God's holy word that the gaining of divine wisdom and the knowledge of God and having understanding to discern and navigate this life requires effort, attempt, and endeavor. Turn in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7, and I want to give you a verse just by way of introduction to kind of help you to understand that you are never going to have godly wisdom by just saying, God, will you give me wisdom? Now, I can appreciate everybody in here is their prayer request tonight saying, God, would you pray for wisdom? Would you just ask God to give me wisdom and know what to do? But the Holy Spirit of God in the closet of prayer is never going to grant you something extra-biblical. He's always going to use the Word of God. It is faith that cometh by hearing and hearing by the, help me, Word of God. So he's going to guide you into all truth. That's what his ministry is. We saw that even on Sunday night. Ezra chapter 7, notice if you will, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And then notice the next part. And to what? And to what? And to do it. Now look, a prudent man doesn't seek knowledge unless he's going to do it. That's a given. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are destroyed or punished. You see, the idea is the prudent man is not going to be seeking something he's not going to obey. He's not going to do it. It would be a waste of his time. Let me ask you a question. Why should I read the Bible if I'm not willing to obey it? Why are we here tonight if we're not willing to live the life? If we say that we are Baptists, if we say that we are Bible-believing Christians, why are we going to waste an hour of our life sitting in here listening to other people's burdens and concerns and listening to some motor mouth preacher go on and on if we're not willing to do what God says we're supposed to do? I'm just simply saying, maybe we're really just not seeking for it in the heart, because that's what the Bible says. Go back in verse 15. It says the heart of the prudent. You see that? Be very careful. You don't walk over words that are there to specifically help us. And then notice in Ezra 7 and verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Did you prepare your heart before you came in here tonight? And by the way, some of you didn't have time to, and I understand that. But did you prepare your heart to seek the Lord this morning? Have you prepared since Sunday to seek the Lord at all? That's the whole intent of the verse, I will tell you. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts? You see, there's nothing that happens in the Christian life by accident. It's all by choice. Now, we know from our own experience as well as from our text that those who have made the decision to be prudent never think that they have prudence enough. So it's not a matter of, oh yeah, well, I've read the Bible once, or oh yeah, I've read Proverbs every day for the last 5 years, and I've gone through it that many times per year. And it's not. The prudent man says, I've not yet apprehended that for which I've been apprehended. I've not yet attained but I do press toward the mark. I am trying to become more like Christ. There are always areas for me to improve. So they will seek it yet the more longer they are, the longer they are alive. And that's the blessed hope that we have as faithful Christians. So to make ties pertaining to last Sunday's message on our testimony ain't over till it's over. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs finally, at the 12th inning, finally beat the Oakland A's and put them out of the playoffs. It was a one-game wild card, just like the Pirates and the Giants are playing tonight. And they were down, and then they were up. They were down, and then they were up. They were down, and then they were up. And I overheard somebody today say the Oakland A's, the last, I think it was the 10th, 11th, and 12th inning, had somebody in scoring position, just couldn't get him home. And the Royals just never gave up and finally won the game. Somebody said to me on Sunday, that's why they play the game. It's because it ain't over till it's over. The one thing about baseball, it is never over until the final out was recorded. It's not like any other sport wherein you have a time limit. Baseball has no time limits. They're going to go on and on. Listen, the fact of the matter is, for us in this life, our drive and our protection of our testimony and the purpose for our living, it's not over until it's over. So what gives us the permission to put it in cruise control and say, I'm okay. I don't need to hear any more preaching. I don't need to read my Bible this morning. I feel convicted when I don't spend the proper amount of time with my Savior. Because I feel like I've cheated my own life, first of all, from being in the presence of God. I feel like I've cheated my own requirement for prudence. Why? Because I'm not like Christ yet. And I'm not grown up unto Him in all things yet. And so here, we understand as long as we live, we're in need of searching the Scriptures and staying on our faces before God to gain daily wisdom and grace, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Some of you may have encountered that evil today. You may have encountered it yesterday or even Monday. Let me ask you a question. I hope you had grace enough for it. I hope you had, shall we say it this way, enough of the Holy Spirit to govern the flesh before it came out. Now look, you can apply it however your day goes. The great thing about the holy, living, awesome, powerful Word of God is that I'll preach it and the Holy Spirit makes applications in 100 different ways. Because it's through your paradigm of life. Your paradigm is not my paradigm of life. You don't go through and I don't go through what you go through on a given day. So when I'm telling you, did you get enough of the knowledge and the understanding of God to help you to make right decisions today? You've got to answer that question. I can't for you. I only can do that for myself. So, in light of our text, the Lord put it on my heart to give a spiritual evaluation of sorts to see where you would evaluate yourself in certain areas of your spiritual life. Now, I want you to take your outline then, knowing what you know about where you are spiritually, and knowing what you know of what God has said in our text, I want you to give yourself a grade in the following areas. Now watch. This is not for you to grade your spouse. Okay? Well, if I was, that's what she'd get. Yeah, boy, I'm going to run this. Some of you, you run the risk if your spouse is not in the church with you to go home and say, oh, I'd like to share this with you, but I'd like to give you the test for yourself. Or perhaps you could use yours as the answer key, right? Because you're the ones that's going to get the best grade. Now look, here's what I'd like to accomplish. I'd like to accomplish an honest evaluation for yourself. I don't want to look at him, but I want you to look at him. And I want the Holy Spirit of God to say, now be honest. Now be honest. The other day I had a young man in my office, and he was telling some things that weren't true. And I said, I want you to tell me the truth. And it's funny. When people don't tell you the truth, what their body says. It's hilarious. Well, Pastor, and the word well just kept coming up, and the eyes were all over the place, and the same individual came in today, he was in my office, and I said, tell me what you did. Well, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, I just want you to be honest. I just want you to be honest, okay? And then as parents, we often say this. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not true. I want you to tell me the truth. You're not in trouble. At least as much as you think you are. Just tell me the truth and you'll be okay. What do we want? We want the truth. We can't stand when we don't know it. Well, can I just tell you something tonight? When I give you the areas to grade yourself, you're going to know it. So it's no use for you to put a grade on there and evaluate yourself any higher than what's absolute truth, because you already know. So it's not about really what you write down there. It's what the Holy Spirit of God says in here that matters, okay? Now, look, what kind of a preacher would I be if I didn't ask from time to time for you to make some kind of a spiritual evaluation? The reality is, every day before the Lord, we should be saying, Lord, how do I measure up to Christ today? We said that on Sunday night. The Holy Spirit of God, as He sheds abroad His light in our life, He's looking for the perfections of Christ. And the answer to these following questions, hopefully, will be a help to you. It certainly is not meant to be a discouragement, all right? So let's grade ourselves, all right, shall we? Knowing that the Bible says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, he gets what he's seeking, the ear of the wise seeketh after knowledge. I wonder how, number one, you'd give yourself a grade for effort. A grade for effort. A grade for seeking God's truth. For seeking God's wisdom. The effort. You have to seek in order to find. You must ask in order to receive. You must study in order to show. You must hide God's word in order to keep God's word. You must listen in order to hear. So, as the Bible says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Notice what it says, as ye abound in everything. Are you seeking to abound in everything? Notice the next verse there. It's an awesome verse in Hebrews 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto then. Let me ask you a question. How would you grade yourself in the area of effort? That is, of just reading your Bible, of listening to Bible preaching with the heart to assimilate and implement. That's the effort. Okay? So grade an effort. Number two, I wonder how you would grade yourself for endurance. Now, normally, if I had to guess, okay, and maybe this is not the case, if I had to guess, perhaps Monday and Thursday would be the best days in the week for most Christians to read their Bible and pray. I'm just guessing based on if they came to church on Sunday, they're more than likely a little stirred on Monday. If they came to church on Wednesday night, they're more than likely stirred to read it on Thursday. So at the minimum, maybe it would be on Monday and Thursday. Okay? But I need wisdom Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Saturday. I even need it on Sunday. I need to endure through all of those. If I had to guess, I would say that after some major transition, a birth, a death, a marriage, a divorce, some kind of problem, that's when people are driven to their feet, are driven to their knees because they have an immediate need. So you could look back in your life and certainly you could measure your faithfulness perhaps based on the trials that you have gone through. That's when you're praying more. That's when you're seeking God's wisdom more. That's when you're beseeching the throne and saying, God, I'm searching the scriptures, but what about after that? What about when God does give you grace and He does give you wisdom and He is merciful and He allows you to go through that and He gets you through it and you look back and then what? I suppose maybe I'm asking the question, how many days can you survive on one day of seeking God's grace? How many days? How many months can you survive on reading your Bible on a Monday or a Thursday during the week? How is my marriage supposed to display the love of Christ and a picture of Christ in the church if I'm only reading my Bible and praying maybe once a week? Maybe once a month. So, it's not just about effort. It's about endurance. This is the area of consistency. So how many days? Here's the grade. Before you write it down, maybe you need to change it. How many days out of the last 30 would you be consistent in your prayer life and your Bible reading, your church attendance, the church attendance for preaching and teaching? Out of 30 days, 75% would be 22 and a half. That's a C. Okay? If you want to do a broader scale, out of the last 9 months, that is 275 days of this year, 75% would be 206 days. Have you read your Bible and prayed faithfully 206 days this year? Because that's the grade for endurance. I'll never forget, years ago, I think the Gridleys are probably the only one here tonight that were in my, Masons I think were, in my Sunday school class. You guys remember when I did a year-long attendance in our Sunday school class? You remember that? Most people do when I bring that up in our class. I gave everybody at the end of the year their Sunday school attendance sheet. Everybody. There was one family that never missed a Sunday. And by the way, it wasn't the Masons or the Gridleys. And they're still in church. The other family's not. You see what I'm saying? It's not about effort. It's about endurance. Can I get a witness right there? It's about endurance. It's about, okay, Lord, I've fallen again, but I'm getting up. Because you're waiting for me, and I need you, and I know that I need you, and I'm not going to try to bank account my grace today so that I can be, you know, I can just sift off it or ration it for the next several days. Out of the last 9 months, how many services? The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, wherein I have suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto my bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You see, endurance is one of those things that reveals the character, and you're never going to develop spiritual character without effort or endurance. So, give yourself a grade for effort. Then give yourself a grade for endurance. Thirdly, I want you to give yourself a grade for exercise. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that Mike wants you to go and do in the exercise in the gym, okay? Most of us need a whole lot more than we do of that anyway. But you can write this down if you need to remind yourself what it is. This is your faith in motion, okay? This would be taking what you have learned from Scripture, all venues, all sources, and putting it into practice. For instance, if you went to the couples retreat, and you made decisions about your role in marriage, how's that playing out for you in October? You see what I'm saying? You can make sure you make the connection here. You can try your best. You can endure with all long suffering and doctrine. But if you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer, that's all in vain. If I'm not applying it, then why am I seeking it? You understand? My faith in motion. If I went to the couples retreat and I said, Lord, you spoke to my heart about this area of my life concerning my role or concerning the way I respond or concerning something in my marriage, how's that playing out for you? Maybe it was the missions conference and God was stirring in your blood to maybe to give more to missions. Maybe it was to surrender to the mission field. Maybe it was just to surrender to serve. Maybe it was because you needed to burn brightly for Christ. I don't know what it was. But how was that decision playing out for you? If you went to the men and boys camp out and God burdened your heart as a man of God, how have you progressed from there? The Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I can hear and I can increase in faith, but guess what, folks? We have to walk out those doors. We've got to go home. We've got to face sometime a carnal spouse or carnal family members or carnal neighbors. We've got to go work with ungodly people. We've got to face scenarios of life that God says, I've given you a small break wherein you could take my word to heart, make a decision, but I want to see you keep it. I'm so glad for Joshua it wasn't lip service. I'm so glad it wasn't that Joshua said, it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. And the next thing you know, his family fell apart and his kids didn't serve God. No, it wasn't that way for him. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So every area of growth in your heart will be manifested in your life in some way, shape, or form. So give yourself a grade for your exercise, right? And then number four, and we're done already. How's that? This is your grade for example. Example. Now, don't look at anybody else's paper, okay? I should have had you spread apart like we were doing testing. So we noted on Sunday, someone will always be taking notes of your life. If they do, will they have the right answers? You ever sit next to somebody in class when you were taking a test? You sit there, you're thinking, all of a sudden you just happen to go. Maybe you were so good at it, you didn't even have to turn your head. You look, and then all of a sudden the teacher would get, I'll never forget it. Mr. Valdez was, he was a Christian man too. Mr. Valdez was my Spanish teacher my freshman year. I took Spanish for two years. The only thing that it could help me find when I was in Costa Rica was a bathroom and a pencil. That's the only thing it helped me to do. But that's not his fault. It's my fault, right? Mr. Valdez would give us tests. And you guys remember the desks that we used to have that were open in the back, right? You slid all your stuff in back there. It was the perfect place to put your Spanish book. Don't look at me like you guys never did this. Slide your book out. Don't sit so close to your desk. Some of your prudes are sitting there going, I would never cheat. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. The books are sitting there. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was sitting there, and I guess I thought I was being subtle. I really did. Look down at that. Mr. Valdez got up, and he walked to me, and I thought I was going to pass out. I was so crushed. He really did love me, and he really did. He really wanted me to do well. He'd get mad at me and yell at me in Spanish, and I wouldn't know what he was saying. Like Ricky Ricardo. I think I'm out. And he came out and he got it and he just shook his head at the bus. He took my test. You know, when you take your test, you're like, zero. No chance to make it up, right? I cheated. I was looking for the answers in the book, instead of just putting them into my heart. But on the outside chance that someone around you has not taken the book and put it into their heart, if they were to perhaps want to cheat off of your life, would they have the right answers? Would they be able to look at your life and go, man, that guy's been with Jesus? They'd take a note of you that you're not the same individual that you used to be. You're now a little Christ. The Bible says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Could that be your life verse for the people that you're influencing? I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Not in an arrogant way. I do not believe that the Apostle Paul was boasting of himself there. And not at all. He was trying to give them someone to follow. Do you know why, sadly? Because there wasn't anybody in that church that they could follow. Be you followers of me. I think you have another verse there in your notes. Titus 2 and verse 7. In all things showing thyself, notice this, a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part, that is, unsaved, maybe ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Now, I want you to look at your test sheet real quick. Just look at it. Everybody look at your test sheet. Your grades. Just look at it. Now, is there any of those grades that you need to change? Okay? If there's not, I wonder what your spiritual grade point average would be. The grade point of your growth in these areas demonstrates one thing. Are we prepared for anything that may happen tomorrow? Because, may I remind you, Peter was inspired to give us the importance of making our calling and election sure, because these Christians were scattered abroad and they lived in a wicked arena every day of their life. By the way, you do too. And I do. Now, if that's the case, what's your spiritual grade point average? I was a solid C student. Solid. And I was pretty happy about that. In college, maybe a B-minus student. Maybe a B-minus student. And I'm not saying that like I was proud of it. That's just where I was. I made better grades in college than I did in high school, even in grade school, just for whatever reason. Okay? I'd like to think that I was a better than a D or a C student as a Christian. I would like to think so. I would like to think, I think everybody would like to, hopefully, wouldn't you like to be an A student? Wouldn't you? Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the questions my teacher asked me. Well, then what's keeping you from trying? What's keeping you from having a better effort? What's in your life that's preventing you from any of this? See, the proof's in the pudding. The fact of the matter is, the prudent, the heart of the prudent gets it. Why? Because he's seeking it. So at the very bottom, you have A is 4, B is 3, C is 2, D is 1. Now look, please don't anybody come up to me and say, see what you did? Or show me. I don't want to see them. But I know someone that does. And he doesn't want to see it on paper. He wants to see it in shoe leather. He wants to see it in your home. He wants to see it and hear it in your conversation tonight and tomorrow. He wants to see it in this church. God wants to see effort. Would you agree with that? Okay. God wants to see us endure. God wants us to be an example. He wants us to be the individuals that he could say, I now have someone to whom I can show myself strong through. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, what I would say is a fairly simple